The Lord is good all the time. Well, last time I had the honor to present the Word of God. We ended in a very high note. Do you remember? The children of Israel were going from Egypt, being delivered by God with the mighty hand, and Moses, the leader, walking ahead of this group of people. As they encounter an obstacle, the children of Israel realize that the Egyptians are following them. And when they are about to lose it all, they're about to say, "Oh Lord, you know, take us back to Egypt. We were much better back then." The Lord delivered them with what the Bible describes as the mightiest act of God. Powerful. No one saw that one coming. The Red Sea opened and the Israelites walk on dry land. What a miracle. It's repeated by the Psalms. It's repeated in Isaiah. Jesus made reference to it. The whole Bible, and we ended on that wonderful note. In Revelation, one day, when all God's people, we gather to sing that song, that wonderful worship service that happened on the other side of the Red Sea. 2 million people rejoicing because God was good. Delivered them in the midst of the most difficult, the darkest time in their lives. Oh, have you been there? I just want to stay there a little bit longer. Just that wonderful warmth that comes into your life, that heart that feels the presence of God, and you say, "I have been in the presence of God." It's indescribable. It's awesome. You get speechless before the presence of God, and I wish we were there. But then we come back to reality. To work, school. The reality of sin of this world. And then we have to remember just for a little bit longer. And he who is to come will come. And then we will be free indeed forever in eternity. Let's not forget that. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Always remember, he who promised, who will deliver us with a mighty hand, will deliver us on his time. Well, children of Israel are just walking away from that mighty experience. And we find in chapter 15 that after 3 days walking in the desert, that water wasn't around. Mm-mm-mm. It's my purpose this morning that you look at this bottle of water and you get very thirsty. Well, I drink water right in front of you. Your throat gets really dry. Your lips, oh, they get stuck to your upper teeth up here. Then your lips begin to crack. And then you feel very, very thirsty. But have you been walking the desert for 3 days? Have you been in the desert at all? I haven't been there, but I have heard stories. It's very hot. Probably that's not the best description. Extremely hot. Really hot during the day. And the sun is just like it's on you all day long. At night it's very, 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 very cold. And after 3 days doing that, can you see yourself saying, "Somebody, give me some water. That's all I want, a drop of water." Oh, 3 days after the mightiest work of God. And this is what the Word of God registered. Chapter 15, verse 24. They found water. Verse 23. They found water. Could you picture 2 million people walking in the desert, thirsty, and they see water at the end? Have you been there? You think you're in the middle of a circumstance in your life, difficulties, and then you see the solution right there, and you think, that is the solution I've been praying for. You think, that's the job I needed. Oh, that's the mate the Lord has provided for me. Oh, that's the situation I've been expecting. And then you rush to it. You run, and you get there, and then you try it. It's bitter. 3 days. Not a drop of water. You get there, the water is bitter. You know, that's a very good symbolism of our lives. As long as we are in this world, as long as we continue our journey on planet Earth, bitterness will come around. The result of pain and suffering, the result of years and years of walking the desert. And you see, the dictionary defines that word as a complaint or protest about something in a bad-tempered, but typically muted, in a muted way. So they were really, really, really upset. So verse 24 says, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? How could this group of people forget the mightiest miracle they just witnessed? How could they forget the mightiest power of God, the right hand that delivered them from the land of slavery, 400 years slaves? They forgot. They grumbled against Moses. But listen to this. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Let me just make a little connection here and tell you a couple of stories. I hope that you remember this passage. If you remember the day that you were extremely thirsty at church because Nelson continued drinking water in front of you. Because there's a water that you need to drink. Because there's a water that we need to keep present every day in our lives. I hope you leave this place running to your car and get a bottle of water, or probably to the drinking fountain and get some water. And when you do that, remember what we're going to talk about. Church, please remember this. When you find yourself in a situation of bitterness, when the circumstances of your life have put you in a place where you feel away from God, and you're about to just say things that will hurt those who listen to you, even God, remember what happened here. Cry out to the Lord. And the Lord told him, take a piece of wood and throw it into the water. Because when we go through those circumstances, there's only one solution. If we go to John chapter 15, we realize that Jesus describes himself as the vine and we are the branches. That piece of wood, a symbol of Jesus Christ. As long as you go there, that bitterness will change. And then verse 25 says, at the second part of it, after he threw that into the water became sweet. Sweet. There was a situation. I've been telling you stories about Flag Club and the families that our church sponsored to go to Timbridge Camp. Oh, there's so many stories. By the way, you received a flyer that explains what's going on with the plans for church plant. Last week, a group of us met at School 46. What's interesting is that we didn't have a place to meet, but the Lord provided a place. Every other week, we'll be gathering there to pray for that community, and to ask for the Lord to lead us. In the middle of that circumstance, I was sharing with the group what the Lord's been doing in that community. There was a lady who registered her sons in Flag Club. First year, she didn't even want to see us. It seems like she was uncomfortable in the presence of us, church people. But something happened. She will bring her kids faithfully to Flag Club week after week. I was just curious about it. Why in the world this lady wouldn't feel comfortable talking to us? Second year, she found a way not to go to school and pick up her kids. We didn't see her at all that year. But her children will go to Flag Club faithfully every week. You have heard the stories that have been sharing about this grandma who has been going to the celebrations of Flag Club. And this is the grandmother of these children I'm talking about. What's interesting that when this lady filled out the feedback about Flag Club, she said, this was grandma who filled out the report or the feedback form. She said, my daughter and my children don't attend church. And I thank you because this is the closest program that they have resembling church. Thank you for what you're doing. And she gave us $10. I want you to take this $10 as a symbol of gratitude for what you guys are doing for my family. Well, that's not the end of the story. Mom signed up her children to go to Timbridge Camp, both of them. Not only that, but she said, I have some neighbors. Can I invite my neighbors too? So she invited her neighbors too. Now we got 5 kids going from her family. And I realized something is going on with this lady and this family. I want to know more. But just the fact that she registered her children in Timbridge Camp gave me the opportunity to go and visit and find out what's happening so I can give her updates about her children in Timbridge Camp. Well, remember, we had a summer Flag Club in the community. And Ray went with us that day and went around and visiting kids and picking up kids. One day we have 35 plus kids coming to Timbridge Camp, to our local Flag Club summer activity. And then that day, when I'm coming back to their home, this lady is waiting for me outside. And she said, I need to talk to you. Remember, 2 years, not one word. And she talked for what seems to be hours. It was evident one thing. She felt that she was trash. She wasn't worthy of being in front of church people. She said, I'm not worthy. You don't know my life. Last time, she said, I visited a church, I was 13. This is an adult woman, over 40. I haven't been back to any church because I don't think that even God will forgive what I have done. My life is miserable. Oh, but listen to this. I told her, there's a story in the Bible that you need to know. Do you have a Bible? She said, no, I don't. I'm going to bring you one tomorrow. And then I brought it, and then I put there John chapter 4. I told her, that's very close to your story. And you know, when we go to John chapter 4, we're going to watch a video that's going to summarize it all. We realize that something's happening there. Remember, John the evangelist, he is writing a letter to a group of people who wasn't sure about Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I'm going to give you 7 signs that are going to help you define and decide if Jesus is the Christ. And I'm telling you this, after you go through those signs, you will come sure, assured, and secure that Jesus is the Christ. Sign number 3 is John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. What's interesting about this is that Jesus, scholars tell us, never took that route before. Jesus is being persecuted in Galilee. The Pharisees didn't like what was going on there. So he goes to Judea, but he takes a shortcut, a place where Jews would not go through. He decides to take that route. Never done it before, never will do it before after that, scholars tell us. And not only that, but Jesus was tired. So some scholars tells us that Jesus took that route, first of all, because he was running away from the Pharisees, and he knew that his time wasn't come yet. So he took that fast route in order to get away from the Pharisees. Others say that the story tells that Jesus was tired. He wanted to get home, so he took that route in order to take a shortcut, get provisions, and continue with the trip. No, brothers and sisters, I think that the real reason Jesus took that route is because he had an appointment. There's something going on in this story. You see, Jesus is stopping by a little town near Samaria. And Jesus sits at the well of Jacob because the Bible says, John tells us, he was tired. And then he sends 12 disciples to go grocery shopping. How many men does it take to go grocery shopping? Suspicious, isn't it? Jesus said, okay, guys, go get some food. Come back. And then he sits there. All of this is setting something up. Jesus is preparing a special appointment with special lady. Not only that, he sits at the well. Flag. Do you know how Isaac's got a wife? You remember the story? Abraham's servant. Where did he go to find a wife for Isaac? At the well. What about Jacob? He was running away from his family. And mama sent him to his family's house. Where did he stop? And who did he meet there? And Moses, he was running away from his people, right? And then he stopped. Where did he stop? First stop, at the well. And who did he meet there? Jesus is at the well. A woman is coming. What do you think this woman is thinking? See, back then, when a young man wanted to find a wife, guess where he would go? At the well. Hangout place, checking out the chicks, right there. So, because women will go to the well early in the morning, and they will get water. So the guys, you know, shepherd boys will say, hey, what are you going to do? Let's go and check out the girls. Let's go to the well. So they'll hang out there, and they will see, oh, look at the and then that was the beginning, because they couldn't go to her house and talk to that and hang out with her. See, they got to find a way to talk to this girl, figure out who they are. But there's something interesting about the story. This woman is going to get water at what time of the day? No one else would go at noon and get water. It was extremely hot. This woman had a secret. And she didn't want anyone to find out what was going on. Probably she was rejected. Scholars tell us she was ostracized. No one wanted to be near her because they knew her life and her reputation. So instead of going to get water when everybody will go, she decided to go at noon when no one will be there. But Jesus, she didn't see that one coming, did she? But when she gets there, she finds a man. And then what's going on through her mind? Another man. You know the story. She had had five husbands, and the one she had wasn't her husband. Maybe she has gone through that experience before several times. Maybe she was tired of being used and manipulated, and she didn't want to go through that again. We find certain rejection there at the beginning of the story. Do we have a video? Let's watch and hear the rest of the story. What happened there? This is a modern parable of the woman at the well. What will happen today? How will be described today?
That which is bad. You whisper as I pass by and cast your judgmental glance. Judgmental glances, but you don't take the time to look at me. You don't get to know me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And otherwise, what is the point of doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look me in my face and see more than just two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears. But to see all of me and all that I could be, all of my hopes, loves, fears. But that's too much to hope for, to wish for, to pray for. So I don't. Not anymore. Now I keep it to myself. And by that, I mean the pain. The pain that keeps me in my own private jail. The pain that has brought me here at midday to this well. To ask of a drink is no big deal. But to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, outcast of failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning. And as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You are a man of no distinction, but of the utmost importance. A man of little reputation, at least so far. You whisper to me and tell me to my face what all those glances have been about. You take the time to look at me, but you don't need to get to know me. To be known to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me. You actually know me. All of me. Everything about me. Every thought inside, every hair on the top of my head, every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, all of my past, and future, you know all that I am and could be. You tell me everything. You tell me about me. That which is spoken from another would certainly bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you, it brings love, mercy, grace, hope, salvation. I have heard of one who was to come to save a wretch like me. And now here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to. I must run back to town. This is way too much just for me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, the sinners and the saints, who need to see what you've shown me, to hear what you've told me, who needs to taste what you gave me, and to feel how you forgave me. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. They all need it. We all do. We need it for our own.
What I love about this story is that Jesus broke cultural barriers in order to meet with a woman. It wasn't just that he was a man and she was a woman, and that wasn't allowed publicly. He was a rabbi. He shouldn't be talking to woman, to any woman in any public setting. He wasn't just a rabbi, a man, but also he was a Jew. And the story tells us Jews, Samaritans, don't mix together. Jesus broke all those barriers, putting at risk his own reputation, sending the disciples come to the town and get some food. When they come back, they say, Jesus, what in the world are you doing? Look what's happening. Oh. Don't you love Jesus? He just went out of his way to meet a woman. And the conversation goes deeper. It's not just about water. It's about spiritual water. The water that you and I need daily. It's a water that we need to be drinking all the time. And the conversation went even in a deeper sense. This woman was looking, searching for God, but she couldn't find it. She wasn't allowed to go to the places where the word of God was preached. She had a tainted reputation, so no one would be able to be close to her. But she wanted to know Christ, and Christ, the Messiah, came, encountered her, and revealed himself as the one, the Messiah, who was supposed to come. Beautiful story. You see, we get to a point that our lives will continue to encounter problems and difficulties. However, let me finish the story of our flag club parent. After I left the Bible with her, it just happened that a week later, I was in the public library, and there she was. She gave me an update on her life, difficult circumstances going through, a very similar story to the one we have heard. And then she said, almost at the end of our conversation, I want to tell you something. I went to church last week. And by the way, I'm planning on coming back next week. It wasn't one of our churches. That's okay. She heard the story. She read the story. She realized that Jesus loves her as she is and wants her back. But I will say this is an isolated story, but it's not. Sean, the first year of Flag Club, he was a dad. His son was in Flag Club. What happened was that dad was going through a divorce. So they, mom and dad, couldn't be together in the same place. So they were alternating. Little boy, Caleb, was saying, "Daddy, Daddy, come with me to Flag." So here we have a bunch of kids and a big guy showing up in Flag Club. They were singing, they weren't doing arts and crafts, and little Caleb said, "Daddy, Daddy, come and do some arts and crafts with me." So there we go, a big guy and a bunch of just doing arts and crafts. And then, "Daddy, Daddy, let's come and sing." So he was going and singing with Caleb and all the kids. One day, outside, I find him, and we chatted for a little bit. He said, "You know what? Last time I was in church, I was 13. Same story? It seems like 13 is a magic number. And he said, I have not been back to any church. 13, grown men with children. But you know what? Going through Flag Club has just brought a lot of good memories. I maybe need to find a church." 2 years later, you know what happened? He not only found a church, his little son, Caleb, got baptized. And he told me, "I'm about to be rebaptized at a church. I faithfully go to church." He wasn't one of our churches, though, but he's seeking the Lord. And he got reconnected with God through Flag Club and the little things that were going on there. How many more people like this Samaritan woman are out there? How many more people that left the church when they were 13 are out there? I don't know, but I sure want to find out. Because we have a message for them. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Just beyond your imagination, beyond your wildest imagination, he hasn't stopped loving you. And that simple message I brought two individuals that we know of, adult individuals, to church. Last week I told you, 2 weeks ago, how those children from Flag Club are bringing the families together. I don't have any more evidence available to continue the Bible studies. They are becoming small groups. These children are calling their parents, their family members, their neighbors, "Pastor Nelson is here!" And then, boom! We got several people joining. Kids, parents, adults, grandparents. Would it be that the Lord is working? Would it be that the Lord is saying, "Come back, my little ones"? Oh, it's exciting. But then the story doesn't end there, you know. The Israelites drank water, and it seems like it was a test. But this is how the story ends. Exodus chapter 15, after they realized that the water became sweet, then the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. It was a test. He wanted them to figure out that the Lord was able to provide for them, and they just needed to trust him. I struggle with this, and I imagine that some of you struggle with this too. Trust in Jesus. Trust in God every day. And then he said in verse 26, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah who heals you." Brothers and sisters, friends, do you need the Lord's healing? power in your life. Jehovah, the Lord Almighty, He is the one who heals us, who heals you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we have read it, we have memorized it, we have repeated multiple times. It says, If my people, Chapel West people, who are called by my name, who represents my name, who honors my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land, will heal their lives, will restore their marriages, will restore their relationship, will give you healing mentally, physically, spiritually. Jehovah, the Lord Almighty, the healer. And then James tells us that if anyone, a church, sick, if anyone needs the Lord, call on the elders and let them pray for you, intercede for you. Brothers and sisters, Chapel West is about to be a mama. Chapel West is about to give birth to a baby church. It's exciting. It's rejoicing. Every time someone gets pregnant, I see on Facebook all those messages. And I see that little pink little sign. And I didn't know what it was, so I have to ask, what is this? Don't you know? A baby is coming. Yeah! Everybody rejoices. And Chapel West and Brownsburg together are about to have a baby. Will you pray for that? Will you pray for the leadership? Will you pray for the core group that's forming? Will you pray that the Lord tells you where you should be in this process that's exciting and challenging at the time? If the Lord touches your heart, please pray for the families that are receiving Bible studies. Pray for the adults that are hearing the voice of God and realizing that they need Jesus too. Pray for the children that are being used by God to bring the good news to their families. And pray that the Lord comes soon. Because the Lord Almighty, our healer, Jehovah, is soon to come. May you be blessed. May you continue trusting the Lord, even if you don't find water to drink in the desert. May the Lord bless you.